50, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson, filling in for today's local Minnesota radio hour as Doug Padgett is on tour the rest of the month and some of November for his Vote Common Good tour. Brett, do you happen to know where Doug is today?
Not in Minnesota.
Not in Minnesota, yeah, I don't know.
I know he was in Allentown yesterday.
But I should have paid closer attention because I did see a Facebook post, and his setup for today looks amazing, huge. It looks like a really cool event, like the whole tour is really cool. But yeah, today looks special. So I wish I would have paid more attention to where he was, but he's all over the place. Busy guy. Hopefully we'll talk to Doug soon, get an update on how the tour is going. But me and Brett will be filling in for October for local Minnesota radio hour from 4 to 5 p.m. here on AM 950. Our phone number is 952-946-6205, so give us a call. And the first thing I wanted to get to today was I actually got a hold of the Keith Ellison investigation, the report released yesterday, and read through it, and I gave a copy to Brett, and Brett read through it. So very interesting, some of the things I read. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I feel like I need to just because some things stood out to me. But Brett, you have an update actually on this and how the investigation is proceeding legally right now?
Yeah, hot off the presses. So this is literally just what the Star Tribune is reporting from a few minutes ago. If you remember, in that investigative report, the attorney said that they would pass along the report to the proper authorities to see if they wanted to pursue charges, rather. So Minneapolis County. Susan Segal received the report. She actually serves on the city council with Keith Ellison's son, so there's a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So she passed it along instead to the Dakota County prosecutor, and they have decided to not take up any charges against Keith Ellison upon further review.
And is that because of the claims are, well, the report released yesterday was that the abuse claims are unsubstantiated? Is it that they can't investigate this or that there's not enough ground to do an illegal investigation?
Basically, all I'm picking up here is that Backstrom, who is, I'm assuming is the Dakota County guy, said he would not review, he would only review findings by law enforcement. So that's kind of an ambiguous statement, maybe saying that he doesn't want to review anything from an attorney. He actually wants it to be done by police. So, okay. Yeah, not really sure what to really read into that statement, but either way, he's not going to be pursuing any charges.
Well, and I think it's interesting that with Doug Wardlow and Karen Housley and the other Republicans calling this investigation a sham investigation, when Keith Ellison's been really transparent on welcoming any investigation, pursuing a congressional investigation in the federal Congress on himself. And I encourage Wardlow and Housley to do their own transparent investigations or pursue them and then release those findings. Because after reading through this today, I got a sense that this was very thorough, very equal. I wouldn't say that either Keith Ellison or Ms. Monahan came out looking good or bad, really, in this. I mean, what's your sense on that? I really didn't think that there was nothing in here that would sink Keith Ellison, but he doesn't come out particularly well, as he would if this was a biased report.
And by the way, we have this full report posted all over our social media on Facebook and Twitter, and I'd really encourage people to read this report, because often what you see the media reporting about these reports, I think, kind of distorts what the report actually says. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later, but it was not biased at all. That's so often mm-hmm. what Republicans are saying about this investigation, which admittedly was conducted by a DFL attorney. But actually read the report up until the conclusion when she says it was inconclusive whether he did it or not, which was about the last maybe half page. It's 15 pages long. For 14 and a half pages, it's literally just unbiased fact-finding and interviews. There's nothing biased. I'd encourage anyone, even our Republican listeners, read through the report. Again, post it on our Facebook and our Twitter page and tell me, what's biased in this report? It was done by a DFL attorney, but this is literally just fact-finding and interviews. Nothing biased at all.
Yeah, so the report reads that the mandate of this investigation was also not to conduct a background investigation of either party, but to focus on the allegation of physical abuse within the context of the relationship between Ms. Monahan and Mr. Ellison. And what I found really eye-opening in this is the alleged abuse, the video abuse of Keith Ellison pulling Ms. Monahan out of the bed was actually not what she has been claiming has happened, but that is what we have been framing this discussion as over the past few weeks and months. I'll read what she actually claims happened. So she states that they got in an argument and he was kind of swearing at her to get out of his house. And then Ms. Monahan claims that Mr. Ellison grabbed her ankles and tried to pull her off the bed, but she resisted by sinking her weight into the bed, holding onto the edge of the bed with her right hand. She claims he then swatted her slipper, which fell off her foot, and left the bedroom, saying she better be gone when he got home. According to Ms. Monahan, Mr. Ellison then left the house on a trip and did not return that day. Some of the public reports have stated that Mr. Ellison pulled or dragged Ms. Monahan off the bed, but Ms. Monahan's allegation is that he tried to pull her off the bed, but she was able to remain stationary by holding onto the edge of the bed with one hand, dragging off of the bed would suggest that her body left the bed and made contact with the floor or another object and would suggest a different degree of physical contact than what is alleged here. Ms. Monahan did not allege that she was physically injured or harmed in this incident. And when I read that, I thought it stood out to me because this entire time we've been talking about reports of her being pulled off of the bed and suffering physical harm from the incident, which is not what she is even claiming. So this begs the question to me that if this video does exist, it might not be the smoking gun that the Republicans have been hoping to have, that it may display a milder circumstance than has been reported throughout the media. I mean, the reason that we've been talking that she was pulled off of the bed is the initial claims by her son, the Facebook post that started all this, said that the video showed Keith Ellison dragging my mama off the bed by her feet. But based on Monahan's description of the alleged incident, is unclear what was recorded for those 2 minutes because she claims she was never forced off the bed.
Yeah, and that's so often what's portrayed in the media. They make it sound like he literally violently dragged her off the bed and she landed face down on her face when she was dragged off the bed. And it turns out that wasn't the case according to her own account. Now, of course, it sounds like he actually did try to grab her ankles. I mean, who knows whether he was actually attempting to do that or maybe just trying to nudge her ankle, saying, hey, take out the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he did use some bad language. So we want to emphasize, you know, just because we're a liberal station doesn't mean we're 100% defending Keith Ellison. He certainly doesn't come out of this looking like a choir boy, but
no, absolutely.
Yeah, this report certainly kind of changes the perspective that the media put forward about Keith Ellison. There I am saying the media like a conservative. Yeah.
Do you agree with me that this video could exist and could come out and it might not even have an impact on the election because it doesn't have the degree of severity that we thought it might have?
Yeah, that very well might be the case if what Karen Monahan in this report, which I assume is true, I mean, she said this, I mean, it's probably not going to be what people expect if this video ends up being released. It's not going to be some violent confrontation. It doesn't look like that was the case at all, according to her.
Mm-hmm. And they tried to get a hold of the video. They tried to set up a private viewing of it, and she articulated her reasons for not releasing the video. They have changed the reasons why she is not releasing this. She has stated that the videotape is embarrassing and traumatizing for her and that she should not have to prove her allegations with the tape. She's also stated that the video is misplaced and saved onto a flash drive packed somewhere in boxes in a storage facility. And when asked to allow a viewing of the videotape and being assured that she would not share the tape with anyone else or publicly, Ms. Monahan declined, saying that it's unnecessary and that the allegation should be believed on their own. So the conclusion of this report, I'll just read quickly, is: in conclusion, while it is clear that the relationship between Ms. Monahan and Mr. Ellison was tumultuous, Ms. Monahan has suffered emotionally. The only question that this report was asked to address is whether there is sufficient evidence to substantiate a claim of physical abuse. While the specificity of the allegations, the cooperation between Ms. Monahan's allegations by three of her friends several months later and Ms. Monahan's reference to this incident several times over the past year weigh in support of such findings. Questions about Ms. Monahan and her son's account of the incident, the timing of the allegations throughout the two-year period since this allegedly occurred, and Mr. Ellison's vehement denial weigh against such a finding. Ms. Monahan claims to possess evidence that could conclusively corroborate her allegations as well as potentially answer all of the questions surrounding it if it occurred, but Ms. Monahan has chosen to withhold that evidence that the accusing party claims to have but refuses to provide key evidence that the accused has flatly denied caused me to conclude that the allegation is unsubstantiated.
And what's interesting, too, I don't know if you read this earlier, I was chatting with Randy a second ago, our buddy from Coon Rapids, but it wasn't her plan. She was going to go public with these allegations, but her plan was never to release that video. That was done by her son, who kind of jumped the gun on it, and as she said, she was kind of defending her son once it was released, which I don't blame her. I mean, you certainly don't want to throw your own child under the bus, but that was the original plan, was just to have the allegations and not even mention the video at all.
Yeah, so I do encourage people to read the report on their own. They do talk about how she felt it necessary to stand up for her son and everything he said, but as you're saying, that this wasn't her plan to come out this way, which is interesting to think about. How would it be different had she came out when she was ready and how she wanted to present this to the public and not been in a position where she had to defend her son? Well, we got Randy in Coon Rapids. He wants to talk about Keith Ellison. Randy?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
You know, I think the things that are getting kind of out of whack here is I think some of these people are forgetting what country we're in. This is the United States of America, where you're innocent until proven guilty. And it's getting really sad to see people bringing accusation, whether it against Keith Ellison. Now, Ms. Monahan, she felt she was wrong, he did these things, there should be a video. If she has a video, you should bring the evidence forward to show that. If you're not going to do that, then you should not say anything. You should keep your mouth shut, because that's the way we work in the United States of America. If there's a crime, you find evidence, you bring evidence. That's what convicts people, and people are innocent. Even though it's Keith Ellison, I don't care for him at all. The man should be innocent. He's not proven guilty. Because somebody says something about you, does not convict a person of a crime. There's got to be evidence. There's got to be corroborating evidence to show that this is what this person did. And why couldn't she take this video, if she has it, find it, and play it for several different people that are unbiased and can see the video? She don't have to even publicly put it out there. But if more people saw this video and said, yeah, we can corroborate, we saw the video, then you'd have something. But she has nothing because she's not bringing the evidence. So in that aspect, now Keith Ellison is getting run through the ringer, and people are going to look at him. No matter how it comes out, it's like he's already stained, and it's him or many other people down the line. If you don't bring the evidence, it's sad. What happened to innocent to prove, you know, you're innocent until you're proven guilty?
Well,
it's just sad that that's the case these days.
Thank you, Randy, for very honest take on the situation.
I will give Randy this. I mean, I know he thinks Brett Kavanaugh should be confirmed, which I completely disagree with, because there's a big difference between being convicted criminally and being convicted in the court of public opinion, which is the case when you're being elected attorney general or to the Supreme Court, but he's at least consistent. Where so many conservatives at least say, I love Brett Kavanaugh, but I hate Keith Ellison. He's at least being consistent, so I'll give him a little credit there. But
To his point, when anyone is accused of any abuse or allegations of any sort, it's very difficult to prove your innocence. You can claim, but your reputation is already tarnished by the fact that there are allegations. And it's very difficult to clear your name, and it takes a long time. But we need honest, transparent investigations into these claims. Well, and the one thing before we go, the difference I see between the Keith Ellison and Brett Kavanaugh allegations and situations are that what's concerning to me about Brett Kavanaugh is the inconsistencies and lies in his testimony, because that directly affects your ability to be a transparent Supreme Court judge. So that's what worries me most, is that as this continues to unveil, we start to see untruths in his testimony when he is under oath. And that's what's concerning for me personally.
And that's a lifetime appointment as opposed to a four-year term.
Which I don't get why we need to rush through a lifetime appointment. That is a situation where there should be all the time in the world to do a proper investigation to allegations. So crazy times we live in. But when we see you on the other side of the break, we're going to take a little tour of Minnesota's congressional districts. We got a lot of districts that are toss-up races, some leaning Democrat, and some that are shoe-ins for both parties. So when we come back, we'll go across Minnesota here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Who draws the crowd, who plays
so loud? Maybe it's the guitar man. You don't have to be an expert camper to enjoy the Boundary Waters. Big Bear Lodge is your home away from home that still lets you experience the Northwoods in authentic and modern woodsy cabins. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the owners whose priority is your relaxation. Take in amazing sunsets, stargazing, and moose viewing near the Gunflint Trail. There are free use of canoes and kayaks, guided pontoon tours, and private docks and fire pits. So come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
Margaret Wheatley said, there is no more powerful way to initiate significant social change than to start a conversation. When a group of people discover that they share a common concern, that's when the process of change begins. On October 16th, you can be part of that change. Engage in the conversation at an incredible event, the Minnesota Women's Press Conversations, Using Our Voice and Vote. With midterms right around the corner, how we lobby, influence, and campaign, especially with people who have different views, has never been more important. So go to womenspress.com to register now. Oh, and Patricia Torres-Ray and Nakima Levy-Armstrong will be in a keynote conversation with each other. And in addition, all of us will mobilize through incredible breakout conversations. October 16th, from 4:30 to 8:30 in St. Paul at Carondelet Center, Using Our Voice and Vote. Register at womenspress.com. Press.com. That's womenspress.com. See you there.
Are you thinking of selling your house or downsizing to Main Level Living for an easier lifestyle? I'm Janelle Holte with Seller's Edge Home Team and Coldwell Banker Burnett, your agent with heart. My team specializes in selling homes and helping you find the next property for all life stages. Call me today for your free equity assessment. I'll get you moving. That's Janelle Holte at 612-203-9661, or find us online at sellersedgehometeam.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson filling in for today's local Minnesota radio hour. And today I want to take a tour of Minnesota's 8 congressional districts to take a look at the races. A lot of toss-up races. We got a lot that could go either way. So let's take a look. We'll start in CD1. This is Tim Walz's district. This covers the southern, just all of southern Minnesota, basically. And the candidates are Dan Feehan and Jim Hagedorn. Incumbent Tim Walz was first elected in 2006, not seeking re-election because he's running for governor, obviously. And a lot of people are wondering, can a Democrat not named Tim Walz win in this district? What I believe Dan has going for him in this race is that Tim Walz is on the ballot. That will certainly help turn out the vote for past Walz supporters and favor Dan Feehan in this race. But Hagedorn has a very checkered history. He has ran for 4 times, and he used to run a website, now defunct, called Mr. Conservative, and he's come under fire for just tons of controversial statements that he's made on the website. He's called the senators in Washington State, both women, undeserving bimbos in tennis shoes. I won't get into all of these, but there's a long list I have here. He's called Indian Reservations Redistribution of Wealth Centers. And the Washington Examiner ran an article titled "The Worst Candidate, Republican Candidate in America, Jim Hagedorn." So that just says his character, why this race is important. But I have another candidate that is challenging Hagedorn as the worst Republican candidate in America. That is Jason Lewis of CD2. Jason Lewis, the patriotic, idiotic voice of the grand old party. Now, when the filing deadline was happening, Matt McNeil talked about potentially running for CD5, and I called him the potential bizarro world Jason Lewis, because if you don't know, Jason Lewis is a former right-wing talk radio host turned congressman. He won in 2016 against Angie Craig, and he is running against Angie Craig again, a little rematch this time. And that race was very close. It was decided by one? No. It was decided by 2 percentage points, and a poll most recently, the most recent poll for this race is found by KSTP that Angie Craig leads 48-45, so a very close race there again. Some of the reports have changed this race to lean Democrat or likely Democrat, and some still have it a total toss-up. But Jason Lewis, like Hagedorn, has a long history of crazy talk, and I'm not going to repeat Lewis's claims because I find them vile, but lots of women shaming, racist, and just overall gross statements by Jason Lewis. Now, my congressional district, CD3, it encompasses the Western Metro area, so the western suburbs. I live in Chaska. The station is here in Eden Prairie, and we are both in CD3, which has, as Matt calls him, the albino leech, Eric Paulson, facing businessman Dean Phillips in a toss-up election for the 3rd Congressional District. Now, this is an interesting race because Hillary Clinton won the 3rd Congressional District in 2016, but Eric Paulson won by around 9 points last time. So 2016, while Paulson won pretty convincingly against Democrat Terry Bonoff, but this race has shifted, and Dean Phillips is in the driver's seat for it. Almost all of the rating organizations have made this to lean Democrat, tilt Democrat, likely Democrat. And I believe the reason for that is Eric Paulson's record has been on blast throughout the past 2 years. He has kind of flew under the radar for a long time, appearing as a moderate, but his record precedes him, and people are finding out that he is not so much the moderate, but a parrot for Donald Trump. Now, the next 3 races are pretty much already decided. We have CD4, which is the eastern metro of Ramsey and Washington counties. The incumbent is Betty McCollum, Democrat, first elected in 2000, and she is likely to win handily again. CD5 is Keith Ellison's district of Minneapolis, Anoka, Hennepin, and part of Ramsey County. This race was shooken up when Ellison entered the attorney general race, and Ilhan Omar received the nomination for the Democrats. She's facing Jennifer Zielinski, and Ilhan Omar will likely win this. I mean, we can pretty much call that one right now. And CD6, CD6, isn't that a fun one? That's Michelle Bachmann's old district. And heading into the election, the incumbent is Tom Emmer, who is running for re-election, and Tom Emmer will win that one, I'm sure. Ian Todd's challenging him, but what is interesting about that is Ian Todd received 33,000 votes in the primary to Tom Emmer's 34,000. So primary votes, I mean, they don't mean anything, but it's interesting that there is more Democratic enthusiasm in that district. But that's a solid red district. Now, CD5 is an interesting one because the incumbent, Colin Peterson, was first elected in 1990 and held on to the seat since that. But it covers the western side of Minnesota, so it's a very rural district. And it has voted for Republicans recently. It voted for Trump overwhelmingly. So Colin Peterson is likely to hold on to his seat, but it is a definite risky seat. And the NRCC is targeting this seat. So we will see a lot of ads here in the metro for this race, and it'll be interesting to see how it shakes up. And finally, the most controversial, or the most toss-up race, I'd say, CD8. This is Rick Nolan's former seat, and we have former state representative Joe Radinovich and St. Louis County Commissioner Pete Stauber. And this has always been a very contested district. Last time with Rick Nolan and Stuart Mills, it was less than 1% that the race was decided by. Now, it's a strong labor union district, which helps the Democrats, but it's also a rural Trump district. It's a true purple district. Every organization has this as a toss-up race, and it's two newcomers, so that will be very interesting. Well, when we get back on the other side of the break, we will have a friend, Maggie Soto, from the Grand Ole Puppet Party, talking about her Eric Paulson puppet. When we return on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, our theme is befriending the untouchables. I will talk about the Little Rock Nine and two white students who treated them as humans. Then, the big interview will be with Father Harry Hartigan about his work with Minnesota's own untouchables, the folks confined to Moose Lake for sex-related offenses. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. How do you choose an automotive repair shop? I bet you look for quality and dependability. You want someone you can trust to do the job right the first time. It saves you money and hassle because you're not coming back over and over again. My team of top-notch automotive specialists knows vehicles inside and out, and I guarantee it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for rain tonight with a temperature rising to about 62. Wednesday, a chance for more rain with a high near 78. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 51. And Friday, cloudy with a high around 55. The St. Paul Art Crawl is coming up October 12th, 13th, and 14th. The Art Crawl is a perfect opportunity for art lovers to celebrate and learn more and collect local art. There will be over 300 participating artists and will sprawl over 34 locations. Find more information at stpaulartcrawl.org.
Hey, girl, it's your boys on the right. Paul.
Eric. Sam White Guy.
I'm Rich Ricardo.
Girl, we know it might seem like Republicans don't really care about women and children anymore. What with that whole family separation thing and endorsing Roy Moore even when we believed he'd sexually assaulted children?
But babe, the biggest crime is that continued assault you've waged on my heart.
Girl, in a social crisis, we need our party ties. Feminism's days are over, conservatism's on the rise. For the lily lap at a fair pay act, girl, I voted no. Cause there's no one who is equal to you, so why would I pay you so? Baby girl, I voted yes for HR 358, allowing hospitals to refuse emergency abortion care. Baby, accept your fate. This is a love song for the women in our lives. Then we voted against equal pay for our daughters and our wives. This is a love song for the women and the wonders you weave. We just love you too much to grant you federal paid family leave.
Baby, you and me, this is just a rough patch. Like when our party endorsed that guy that cuts women by the snatch. Don't Google Blake Farenthold using taxpayer money to settle sexual harassment lawsuits. Don't think about our candidate pontificating careers aren't women's healthiest pursuits. And when Roy Moore was credibly accused as a child molesting sleaze, you thought we'd cut support or funding? Mitch, please. This is a love song for the mothers, one and all. Just maybe don't leave your daughters alone with our senators at the mall.
This is a love song for our babies from your bones. We treat you so damn well, so why the hell are you leaving our party in droves?
This is a love song, morally wrong.
We're listening to the new episode of the Geo Puppet Party. And with us, we have Maggie Sotos, creator of the Geo Puppet Party. Maggie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Great video. Why don't you tell us about this new video you just released, episode 7, Boys on the Right Sure Love Their Women.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, first of all, I apologize if that's an earworm and it gets in anybody's head. this is the 7th episode of this web series that we've made called the Grand Old Puppet Party, or Go Puppet Party is our hashtag. You can see all the episodes at grandoldpuppetparty.com. We also have a Facebook group, and we're on the Instagram, which is a delightful follow of all the puppets that we have that are fashioned after several members of the GOP, as well as the occasional photo of my German Shepherd. So yeah, you know, it's a delightful cornucopia.
Yeah, why don't you explain to the listeners some of the puppet concepts? There's some hilarious representatives, famous politicians. I love the Mitch McConnell puppet.
Oh, isn't he great? Yeah. So it was a few months ago. I used to live in Eric Paulson's district here in Minnesota, and I was raised in a Republican household. So without doing my due diligence and research, womp womp, I actually voted for him in 2016. I know. But after the election, I realized, holy cow, this is a garbage person. Like, he votes 97% of the time with Trump. He votes far right very consistently. I thought he was going to be a middle of the road Jim Ramstead guy. And egg on my face, he was not. So yeah, after the healthcare vote, where he voted to strip Minnesotans of pre-existing conditions, it felt like it was sort of a moral responsibility of a lot of us to step up and to become better educated on the topic, but also to see what we could do to be more active in the area and to draw attention to his voting record. So I have a background in comedy, and several of my friends are performing artists as well. So we banded together and we made this web series. The puppets themselves are these labors of love. We've made artisan puppets. Well, we didn't make them, we ordered them. A professional made them. I can't claim any credit. They're too well done for my hands. But we have these puppets that look like actual puppet versions of real life Eric Paulson and of real life Paul Ryan. We have a chorus of the GOP, which are just identical little white old men.
Yeah, I love those.
Oh, aren't they great? Yeah, yeah. And then probably, I know he's a crowd favorite. We also have Mitch McConnell, who is portrayed as a bespeckled turtle. So it works on so many levels. So, yeah.
Well, you're not alone in those sentiments of accidentally voting for Eric Paulson, because he was able to, for such a long time, stay under the radar and appear as a moderate. But because of people like you, he's being exposed as more of a radical congressperson. So I applaud you for that.
Oh, thank you. That's some small comfort. I feel bad that I'm part of the problem that, you know, he was able to make such a significant swipe against, you know, Minnesotan families who rely on a lot of these programs and need them. So for them, I am sincerely sorry. But for what it's worth, I think that you know, Trump has been a big wake-up call to a lot of us that we need to pay closer attention, and we do need to be more educated, and it doesn't need to be this, you know, punitive, you know, self, you know, loathing exercise. Politics is fun. There's a lot of joy in the politics of this district now. There's so much energy around Dean Phillips's campaign. It's been a galvanizing effort. It's everybody is really riled up, and Dean Phillips is positive to a fault. He's like Pollyanna in politics. It's so both adorable and then also like, for the love of God, man, be more negative. Would you go dirty once in a while? And he won't. And it's very frustrating to watch on the sidelines.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you mentioned Dean Phillips, and we've seen a lot of creative energy in this race with his most recent Bigfoot ad. And
oh my God, was that whoever thought of that needs to like I would love to buy them a drink. They were brilliant.
And it's went viral. It's been seen over a million times across the country. So it really puts this race in focus across the entire country. And what's great about Dean Phillips is not accepting any corporate PAC money. He's one of the few congressional races who refuses to accept any. And the couple others we have are also receiving a lot of success. So it shows you don't need to rely on that corporate money.
Well, and it also shows that it's an area that people are having a heightened awareness of and interest in. There's an obtuseness and at this point when Eric Paulson and his, you know, last minute town halls that he had in May, you know, when he tries to, you know, make us believe like, yeah, I do accept a lot of these large donations from, you know, Big Pharma and from a lot of these different corporations, but I am no way beholden to them. That just is insulting to the point of just ridiculousness. I mean, if somebody comes into my office and gives me, you know, $50 and then says, hey, and then it comes back a week later and says, hey, I need a favor. Yeah, I'm very aware of that $50 that they gave me. It's so good to see that people are having a bigger awareness about the influence that money has in our legislation and in our governing cycle. And I think it's good that we're elevating people like Dean Phillips and calling Eric Paulson out on his nonsense.
So why don't you talk about some of the past videos you've done? This is your seventh episode. What are some of the other episodes about?
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, the fun we've had. So some of the episodes are musicals like this one. They focused on healthcare, on, the first episode was more of a long view of like what Mr. Paulson's rise has been and sort of what his trajectory has been in the big picture of things and how the rise of Trump has sort of influenced a lot of his campaigning, or I should say it has not influenced him. I was kind of hoping that somebody like Eric Paulson would find the backbone, given that his district voted for Hillary Clinton. He has political cover to say, hey, I'm not going to vote, you know, lockstep with the party on some of this stuff. But he has oddly chosen not to do that. So one of the first video really drew attention to those elements of it. One of the running jokes throughout all the episode is that Paul Ryan continues to mistake Eric Paulson for inanimate objects and bland food, because that's kind of Eric Paulson's go. That's just sort of his motif, is he tries to stay under the radar by being this very inoffensive personality. So we try to heighten that and parody that by saying, like, you know, oh, hey, Paulson, did you get that memo? Paulson. Oh, sorry, that's not Eric Paulson, sir. That's a sleeve of saltine crackers. Well, where's Eric Paulson? So yeah, it's definitely something that we wanted to point out and kind of poke fun at him for a little bit. All of the videos you can see on the grandolepuppetparty.com, but I think my favorite one is probably, I mean, I really liked the one you played. That's our video that we just dropped today. It's pretty popular. It's gotten about 1,400 views so far. Wow. So that's hooray, good. But I think one of my favorites was our healthcare rap that we did, because it's just very dense and information rich. It's sort of like how, like Schoolhouse Rock, but on steroids. It's just very, very rapid fire information that we just busted our butts researching. So I hope people learn a little bit from it and find themselves in a position where they can both laugh at it, but then also be like, oh my God, this is real.
Now, how many more videos do you plan to release before the election?
Yeah, so I think that the last official video that we're planning on dropping will be in the next week or two, and that one is actually not going to have any puppets in it, spoiler alert. It's going to focus actually on chatting with a couple of voters from his district who voted for him, but then who have since soured on him for whatever reasons, and their articulations of their disappointments and the reasons that they are not going to be voting for him. The theme seemed to be very prevalent about healthcare, but there was also a lot of talk about his really awful record on a lack of gun control or any semblance of gun control, how strongly anti-abortion he is. I mean, like, he makes Michelle Bachmann kind of look pretty tame by comparison.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a tall order too.
Dang, yeah, right. That's when you're at a bar with Michelle Bachmann and somebody's like, "Woo," points to you and says, "You're the crazy one." That's never a good day, I don't think. Yeah, but you know, it's good that people are aware of this, like I said earlier, and I'm glad that a lot of his voters who previously had found him to be moderate enough or somebody who would listen to alternative points of view are now voicing the exact opposite. He has no accessibility in terms of his town halls. He has no, you know, there's no way to get through to him, even when the majority of people in his district don't want him to vote a specific way and tell him that, he will ignore them. This is just a very disturbing pattern, I think, that we see in a lot of our, you know, candidates, where they are not, they don't feel beholden to their constituents. They feel beholden either to their party or to their donors. And it's kind of sad sometimes. I mean, Eric Paulson really could have been this guy that was different than everybody else. He could have been so much different than the stereotype of the cowardly politician that we have. He had the opportunity to, and I don't know, it's funny to make fun of him, but every time I do, there's also this little part of me that's like, dang, guy, you blew it. What an opportunity you were handed, and you blew it.
Ugh. Now, do you have any plans, or have you done any live puppet shows in the past or future?
Oh, well, there are going to be a couple of appearances, I think, by the Eric Paulson puppet and the gang in October. None have been solidified enough that I could tell you, oh, yes, go to this place at this time. So the best thing to do is to check out our Facebook page so you can know ahead of time about the puppet brigade. Or I call them my suitcase of puppets, because that's how I transport all the puppets, is it's this old-fashioned looking suitcase that I carry around. It's very old-timey, and it makes me look kind of like a traveling salesman, like, come on up here, there's a bunch of creepy puppets in this suitcase, you don't want to miss this. to see where we're going to be next, you can follow us on Instagram, definitely, Go Puppet Party. But you should also make sure you look at us on Facebook, because that's a great way to see where we're going to be and what kind of trouble we are up to.
Now, is there anything else people can do to help your cause? Do you have any crowdfunding or anything like that going on right now?
Oh my gosh, you're so kind to ask. Well, we did do crowdfunding at the beginning of this project, which is how we were able to do this and compensate our artists so fairly. So thank you to everybody who already donated to our Kickstarter and made this possible. But that's all already done. So in terms of what would be helpful is if people could go to our Facebook page or to grandoldpuppetparty.com and share the YouTube videos, share the videos that we have online. Let City Pages know about us. Let Star Tribune know about us. It would really make my trolling heart just so happy if people also tagged Eric Paulson in this stuff. I understand that it feels a little weird to troll politicians, but the good news is that on each of these videos, if you go to the YouTube page where it says Show More, click on Show More. People will find there is a full script annotation complete with hyperlinks to all of our primary sources. So for example, in that last music video we listened to at the beginning of the program, where he talks about like, oh yeah, I voted for a bill that allowed hospitals to refuse emergency abortion care. That's not just trying to find something to rhyme, the rhyme scheme of ahead of it. It is in reference to House Resolution 358, the Protect Life Act. That was something that Eric Paulson voted on recently. There's a link as well to his voting roll call, so you can even confirm that, yep, he did. And you can also see the text of the legislation itself. This was really far right, crazy anti-abortion legislation that allowed federally funded hospitals to refuse emergency life-saving abortion services for women. Like, I get it that there's there's nuance to the subject of abortion and people can come with different opinions about it. But the idea that, a doctor that you're turning to in an emergency situation can refuse you an abortion, even when it would save your life, that doesn't sound like something that the voters of District 3 would get behind, no matter what political perspective you're coming from. And I'm sorry to see that Eric Paulson chose to ignore that. I'm sorry that he went with something so batch. something so crazy and out of the realm of normal or reasonable.
Well, Maggie, thank you for coming on today and for your passion and energy you put into this project. It's fabulous, and keep going. Why don't you shout out those links one more time?
Of course. Thank you again so much. We are the Grand Old Puppet Party. You can find us on Facebook and as well as on YouTube. Our handle is Go Puppet Party. We have a YouTube channel as well. So you can always find everything in one-stop shop at grandoldpuppetparty.com.
All right. Thanks a lot, Maggie.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We will be right back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Due to unprecedented corporate media consolidation, roughly six corporations now dominate the media. For democracy to work, people need easy access to independent and diverse sources of news and information. I'm Amy Goodman. Join me and Juan Gonzalez as we speak with international journalists, grassroots leaders, peace activists, artists, academics, and independent analysts. Democracy Now! Offers real, independent news and analysis.
Catch Democracy Now! Every weekday at 2 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson, filling in for local Minnesota Radio Hour today. And before we go, I just want to draw everyone's attention to a story that happened on Sunday. The third death linked to the homeless encampment happened this weekend. A mother of eight children was living in the homeless encampment in South Minneapolis and died of an apparent overdose. They performed CPR and gave 10 doses of Narcan, a drug that can reverse the effects of opioids, but they weren't able to have her come to. It's very sad story. Our friends at Natives Against Heroin were out there trying to rid the tents of potential drug dealers. You can hear on Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake. People from Natives Against Heroin frequently on the show. They had one 2 weeks ago. But very sad story, and I hope we can get these people into a longer-term situation very soon. But anyways, that's our show for today. This is Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson signing off for Local Minnesota Radio Hour. We will be here all month long in October and a little bit of November while Doug Padgett goes on the road for his Vote Common Good tour to change Congress for the common good. So signing off, Hunter and Brett, see you later.